Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello. Welcome to The Shift. Stez here. Katie's not with me. She had to run away. She has a show tonight. Back in the city. Back in Manhattan. The beginning of September. Last full month in New York before I head back to Ireland for a long time. But Katie's coming with me for some of it. So, don't despair. Anyway, we have a great episode coming up. First of all, thank you so much for all the great feedback to last week's ep. Probably our most listened to ep ever. Everybody was dying to see how Cade would react to porn. I might put up the unedited version this week, actually. Be curious to know everyone's feedback on that, because I edited out quite a lot of us watching porn together, because I was just worried it would be a little awkward. Anyway, worry about that at the end of the ep. For now, let me intro today's ep. It's a wonderful episode. Katie actually only texted me this morning to say that comedian she knows, Katherine Henson, is willing to be on the podcast, and she works in a sex dungeon, which I didn't really know what that was, but you're about to find out. She's a manager of a sex dungeon, but she also has a sideline foot fetish business where she's a foot fetish model, sends pictures of her feet to guys that are into that. And then, to finish off the episode, what I think is probably the most interesting part is that when she was a teenager, her mother sent her to like one of these teenage discipline camps, which, as you'll find out, turns out to be like a Mormon-run thing, even though she's not a Mormon. It was quite traumatic, and it's very interesting, and I think it's worth sticking around for. It's about an hour and 20-minute ep. So the last sort of 20, 25 minutes is about that. So stick around for that. So listen, it's all about the fetishes. So get ready. People are getting peed on. Other things are happening. People are cross-dressing. And we're about to learn a little bit about the world of sex dungeons, foot fetishes, and discipline camps with Katherine Henson. Stay tuned. I'll talk to you after the app. We might as well just begin then. Even though I haven't even sound tested your mic.
I know. Check.
Wow. you've such great projection.
Do I?
Is it good?
I can be even louder.
That's Katherine Henson, by the way, listeners.
Katherine, who just came back from Edinburgh. So some of you, if he's went to the Fringe, might have seen her.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, we would definitely have a more of a Fringe-going audience than your average New York podcast.
I like that. I like the way Katie says my name, Katrin. And most Irish people, Katrin.
Why, how do you say it?
Katrin.
Katrin.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this.
Katrin.
T-H. Katrin.
T-H is meant to be th. Now, it's no problem that you pronounce it as a th, because that's like the Irish accent. But just for the record, officially, T-H is a th.
No, because you say H is different. You're like H.
Say H. But I said H for you.
You
because
did,
I knew.
Sometimes when people will be saying, I'll be like, oh, spell it for me. And then they'll, if there's like an or a Z or a H, I get all confused. And then I've missed the rest of the spell.
An R, a Z, or an H.
Right.
Just if you needed translation there. But you're just back from Edinburgh.
So I feel like I hear, I know. And I was around some Irish people that very Irish, where it's like listening to a cartoon for me.
Katie's not.
Well, she is, but when you have a group and they're all Irish and,
they
like
go full belt.
Speaking Irish, yeah,
and they go just, faster, yeah.
Yeah, and like using slang, like I learned the slang Jobsworth, which I think is so funny.
What?
Jobsworth. It's like somebody who takes their job way too seriously.
Oh, I'm not
I've never
with
heard
that
of that.
That might be Scottish.
I thought that was so funny.
Well, that might just be like a Gen Z.
It. I love
Gen Z slang.
It's a newbie slang. Yeah. Oh, so I'm missing out on the newbie slang.
The Irish say Catherine. The English say Catherine.
Catherine, yeah, that's London, the southern English. And Catherine.
So, lots of fun.
Catherine Henson. Thank you. Very late notice on the podcast.
Yeah. So I text Catherine this morning. I was like, hey, any chance you can do the podcast today? And she goes, I can't. I'm in the sex dungeon.
Stanley at the dungeon.
You were at the dungeon.
Yes. I was at work.
So you said, I can't.
Well, because I couldn't do it in the afternoon.
Oh, right. Yeah. Which was just as well. This timing is ideal.
Yeah. The sun will be setting soon.
So Katie texted me and said, well, the two interesting things about your life, but numero uno, we've already mentioned, you work in a sex... Well, by the way, the two things I know that are interesting about your life.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not suggesting that they're the only two interesting things.
Well, it all just sort of...
You did the survey. Yeah. These were the two things that checked off on our... So you work in a sex dungeon.
Right. Yes.
So what does that mean?
Well, I'm the manager. So just to be clear, like I facilitate the experience. I don't provide it, if that makes sense. Like I'm not a dominatrix.
Oh, right. I for some reason, just assumed that you were involved in the management of it. And
Over being a dom?
But honestly, I didn't even know beyond the fact that it existed what happened there.
Right. Well, so there's no sex. There's no sex, no blowjobs, no hand jobs. It's like not, it's like not a whorehouse. It's for fetishes, essentially.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like a fetish shop. No, fetish experience.
Fetish experience.
Venue. So.
Correct. There we go. Yeah.
Nice.
But it's not like you just walk in like a party. It's not like, oh, well, I'll just go there. It's like you have to make an appointment. Every person has like a name and a code, and they select either whether they're going to meet all the women or if they want to see someone in particular. And, they come in and you sort of move from there.
So there is a selecting process.
Yes. You can do so on the website or there. You can just meet all the girls who are available. And you say, like, what you're into, and the women can turn it down. Like, if, like, one guy was like, I want long, wet farts, and this girl was like, I had food poisoning today. I'm not going to do that.
All right. I would have thought that would be more of the optimum. I'm sure he would have thought, well, bingo.
Oh, yeah. No, he would have.
Like, how else are we going to get these long, wet farts?
He was on board, but she was like, I'm just not in the mood. I've been, because I also might vomit, and I don't want to have to clean that up. And, it's a whole thing. You just have to deal with that. Like, that's like sort of, I guess, what would you call it in an office? Like having to deal with sort of that type of small situation.
Like HR.
That's a micromanagement.
Yeah. Like, well, like he wants farts. She has to clean up when it's all over. She's like, I don't want to clean up my vomit in case I vomit from the food poisoning. So I'm not going to do the session.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, fair enough.
So, what is it? Like a series of rooms or?
Yeah. There's 10 rooms. 10 rooms. Yeah. We just built another one. So I'm like.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't have to.
Well, there's like a cross-dressing room, a wrestling room, a smoking room, a leather room, two medical rooms, an office, a castle chamber.
But mostly, sorry, go ahead, Katie.
What is a medical room?
For medical fetishes.
Oh, people that like want to play doctor, nurse type thing.
Well, I mean, I guess that's sort of like the most mild of them.
Okay.
Yeah, they can get a little, those medical sessions can get a little extreme.
Like what? Give us an example of an extreme.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell this story.
Well,
tell
it. Yeah. You can keep everything anonymous.
Right. Well, I mean,
you don't want to bust anybody's anonymity.
I'll leave out. Okay, I'll leave out one part. But so basically, I quit drinking this year. But
My God, what the fuck is going on,
Katie?
It's
fucking crazy. Yeah.
Everybody quit.
Did you
drinking.
Quit drinking?
No, but just everybody we have in the damn podcast is giving up drinking. By the way, I'm a non-drinker too. But it's just weird how many people have come on the podcast and say I gave up drinking recently.
Well, hard drugs. Sophie's choice.
So. Oh, so you only just given up drinking? You haven't given up all mood altering substances?
No, I like to have fun.
Still. Oh, okay. So. Thank God. Yeah. You're kind of another goddamn sober fucking.
Yeah, no.
I'm one of them, by the way. Yes. But no, we don't want too many of them.
Yeah, no, I like to experience the world. Like definitely, when I was in Edinburgh, I had a night of like MDMA, cocaine, ketamine, a nice little cocktail. Feeling pretty good.
For you.
Yeah. So enjoyed that night. But
you digress from the medical fetish.
Yeah. So I had gotten very drunk and I had ordered a car and it took 40 minutes to get there. I discerned that all from text messages later. And in that time I fell and I ripped through leather pants, which you got to like, that's a pretty.
Yeah. That's a big fall.
That's a big fall. Like rip through leather.
You've gotten through. Yeah.
So I went to work 2 days later and one of the girls who basically her specialty is medical, like men will fly across the country to see her. like specifically. And she came in, saw this wound on my leg and was like, you know, baby, this is infected. It's healing over dirt and dog hair. You let me fix it for you. And I was like, all right. So she basically took lidocaine, which one of her clients prescribes to her or like gives her. It's something that is prescription. It numbs up an area. Yes. And she just ripped the skin off. Yeah. And then wrapped it. What a touch, though. I mean, I saw why they fly across the country. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm a little turned on, but also freaked out. So then she wrapped in saran wrap and went into a session. It's a corporal session, corporal medical. So she would beat the man with a cane, like until he just was bloody and like on his ass until there were like gaping wounds. And then she'd sew them up.
And she sews them up?
She sews them up.
Oh, she's allowed. That's legal?
No comment.
Okay. Right. I'm just curious.
Well, I mean, there's certain. I mean, there's definitely like. I feel like lines are blurred.
Yes.
But technically, likely no. But neither is like, you know. She then like will insert a 2-foot dildo inside of him after numbing his asshole to do that. And then for like the finale, what he likes is she takes the tip of his dick and puts in 12 needles and extracts blood. Jesus. And then gives him his blood and then does it to his balls and takes out the testicular fluid and gives it to him. And apparently that is cold. Testicular fluid is cold. So did you just learn something about yourself, Des?
Well, I guess I didn't know testicular fluid was cold.
It's cold. Very cold.
So some of this is quite intense.
Well, yeah. Like, so the medical stuff is pretty and like corporal sessions are pretty crazy. Yeah.
So that would be one of the more intense side.
I mean, how do you feel after I told you that?
Yeah. I mean, it's way more than I was expecting today.
My face was just scream emoji the whole time.
Yeah. But then, you know, like there's a guy who comes in, he just likes to yank on teeth. Give him a tug.
On his teeth.
On teeth.
So he likes somebody to yank on his tooth.
He likes to yank on their teeth.
Oh, and they let him do that?
Yeah. And so they'll
sit in the medical. And what room does that go into, the medical?
That's usually medical. I mean, they can choose their room, but a lot of the guys who want like anything to do with like teeth or like you know, needles and stuff are going to take a medical room.
And are these guys allowed to jerk off or is not allowed?
They are allowed to jerk off. The women do not jerk them off.
Right.
That is like,
That's a no-no.
That's a no-no. If I hear of it or find it out, the women are fired.
All right.
Because it's not prostitution. But it is like fulfilling a fetish. And that's why, again, the lines are sort of blurred there.
Sure. You know? But the men are allowed to jerk off.
Yeah, they can finish.
Okay,
themselves.
So that's the medical room.
There's two of those. So.
Okay, so what are the other rooms again?
Then you have cross-dressing.
So that's just guys like to cross-dress?
Guys or like there's this guy. I love this guy. Everybody loves this guy. He... I won't say it because it might not even be his real name. But he comes in, and what he does is he puts on his like army camo, and I learn.
You mean like he was in the army, or just
So he was in the army. He arrives before the place even opens, sets up the cross dressing room to be this very elaborate candle lit situation, decorates, and why we all love him is like he'll just give the manager $200 tip just for nothing essentially. And then the girl, he'll session for like 5.5-6 hours and then tip her on top of that. And when I went in last time, I saw him in his outfit, and he arrived with sunglasses and never took them off. So I never saw his eyes, but he had changed into the camo outfit. And I was like, oh, you know, great outfit. You know, it looks great. And he was like, oh, you know, this is actually a sand camo. You would use this in the Middle East when you were in the army in the Middle East. I've also got the kind of original camo that you see the kids wear. And I'm like, wow, I just like learned about camouflage in a cross-dressing room in a BDSM dungeon.
So does he then cross-dress in there or he has his own little thing and that's a convenient room
has a
for
little
him?
He likes the cross-dressing room because it's the most like a living room.
Okay.
It's most like a domestic feeling. Whereas like the other rooms are like very dungeon, like they're themed as like a dungeon or medical. Like the vintage office is like an office. And then there's like a wrestling room and that's, you know, for wrestling.
Nice.
Wow, this is so interesting.
Now, are all the women, is it only women, sorry, that work?
Only women work there, yeah.
Right. And it's mostly male clients?
Yeah, primarily. Occasionally couples and occasionally women. A lot of times the women who come in want to learn how to be subs for their personal life. So they'll sub with a dom.
Oh, and the dom will teach them.
Yeah, well, they'll dom them so they can be better submissives.
Subs.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, the women are practicing being better subs?
Yeah, for their personal life, it seems.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's like women there who sub and switch and Yeah.
So they little like workshops.
Yeah, I mean it's like a session, but yeah, they'll like you know.
How much is a room?
It's done by half hour hour. So a half hour is 190 and an hour is 260.
And that's for the room, and then
that's for the like the room for an hour with a girl.
With a girl.
Yeah.
And then is there a mandatory gratuity or the gratuity is optional?
It's optional, but like a restaurant, just do it. You know, like
is it 20%?
No, I mean it's something, and I mean if you think about like what some of these people want who don't tip, like you know you get a reputation. Like there's a guy who likes you know to do browns, and they're like, but he doesn't tip. So why the fuck am I going to not shit all day and then do it on you for no money?
Did you make an assumption on what brown was?
I figured poop, but I thought maybe it was him pooping on them. So there you go. The girl has to hold.
I mean,
poop
it depends, you know.
Wow.
So I mean, because we haven't talked that much about fetish, so I was hoping to use you a bit.
Yeah.
Just because we don't.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
There'll be no browns in this apartment.
I pooped already.
Yeah. I did all my pooping. Usually this podcast ends with a pee, though. So if that's your thing.
A golden?
Yeah.
Love that.
So that would be common enough, people coming in for a.
Yeah, I mean, it's common enough. You know, it's not everybody's thing. Like,
what's the numero uno thing?
I don't think there's people who like to cross dress, and we get a lot of Hasidic Jews who like to do that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why do the poor Hasidics always come up in all the conversations about sexual deviancy?
Yeah, because I mean,
have you ever noticed that? You noticed that in your short time here?
Yeah. I heard something. Oh God, I hope this isn't bad for me to say, but that in the religion they figured out it's okay to have. Wait a second. You can't touch a woman. Another woman, unless you were exchanging money, that's why it's okay to have sex with a prostitute.
I don't know the background to it.
That's what I heard, but I don't. That could be just bloody hearsay. But that's what I heard. That's why there's a lot of going at being okay to. Because my landlord was a Hasidic Jew, and when I went to shake his hand, he nearly had a bloody heart attack.
Yeah.
But I didn't know, obviously. So that's just what I heard. I don't know how true it is.
I don't know. I don't know how true that is. I just know like. You know, it's. I feel like that community is very. Just the religion itself is
very repressed.
Yeah. So.
And you said they come in and cross dress. Is that what you said?
A lot of them like to cross dress. Yeah.
And they're already dressed so strangely anyway.
Yeah. And it's. They'll do the most taboo. Like you know, like there was one guy who came in and he. It was just so. Classic. He tried to haggle with me, you know, and I was like, these are women, not apartments. So, like, we have a price. Like, this is the price, you know, yes. You can't. And he was very specific. He was like, I want a tall black mistress. And I'm like, because that is like the most taboo for you,
okay.
You know, in your community. And he then tried to haggle with her and the session ended and she came out and was like, yeah, he's like not wanting to leave, he's trying to, and I was like, okay, so now I have to go in there and like get rid of him. And when I walked in, he was like standing there in red fishnets, high heels, full face of makeup, blonde wig, and like a slutty Dorothy outfit with his dick hanging out the bottom. And he was like, oh, can't you trust me? And I was like, no, I was like, it's over, dude. Like, we'll see you next time.
Come on, I'll give you 500. Come on.
Yeah, well, no, I'm like, you don't have any more money, and you're not giving me your credit card, so we're done here. Like, get dressed, man.
That's great.
Go back to your wife, you know?
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So cross-dressing is pretty popular.
Cross-dressing is popular, and just like that room, like, because I guess it has like a comfortable feel and makes people feel like it's not.
But even in the cross-dressing room, does it tend to be more of a sort of a dom submissive?
I mean, like that guy who comes in and wears the camo, he likes to do a switch. So he'll dom for the first like 3 hours and then she'll dom for the next 3.
Right.
Is she able to take bathroom breaks?
Yeah. Most of the rooms are equipped with very nice bathrooms.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Like the shower in the office area for the girls is like one of the best showers I've ever had.
Yeah. The shower in the...
So there's like... there's the dungeon area, and then there's the office where I like work and do all my paperwork, and like the closet where all the equipment, if you will, is kept.
Yes, the props room.
Props room. There we go. And then there's the girls' room where they can hang out, watch TV, sleep. There's never been a job that I've seen where people can just walk in and immediately go to sleep if they feel
but
like.
They're not getting paid by the hour, are they?
No, they're paid by session.
Yeah.
So they can sit there all day and not make any money. And then there's a really nice kitchen. And a little smoking room and a whole like bathroom area.
How did you end up working in a sex dungeon?
Craigslist.
Wow.
Just looking for jobs.
Yeah, I was just looking for a job. I'd been working in an antique store, and I actually was hired at the job on my birthday, the day that I saw you. Remember I saw you on my birthday, and you did that rate? We did that.
Yeah.
I came to your house. Yeah, so I was, I was hired that day. And then on that same day, I went, because I was just like, whatever, I'll try. I live a life I'm very open to things. So mm-hmm. I also saw an ad to become a foot fetish model. So on that same day, I went on an interview to be a foot fetish model. So I was hired at this BDSM dungeon, went on this interview all on my birthday. And that was like, that was weird. That was a weird one. And
but
I was like,
what were they in the same section, those ads? It seems like it would be in the same.
You know what? All of them are just in like part-time jobs. Yeah, and they like to, you know, dress up the language so it doesn't sound like, you know. So it was like, yeah, they called it foot fetish model.
Were you scared? Why be scared going to an interview for that?
I was a little scared. It was near the pear, so I went into the Grizzly Pear, and I, like, had two shots before I went. Because I was like, because they said to me on the phone, they're like, you're going to, I was scared for the BDSM one first, because we send people to a corner. We
so don't you, you did the interview with the BDSM one first?
I had my second interview with that, and it was hired. My first interview, it was just, I remember waking up so nervous. I had a copy of my resume. I was like, what do you even wear to this interview? So I was like, I'll wear my leather pants, you know, and like, and I go, and I'm like on the phone with my friend. I'm like, look, if you don't hear from me in like 30 minutes, like I call the police or something. Like, I don't
but
know.
But you'd Googled the establishment though, no?
They didn't tell you the name.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't say the address anywhere, you know? Like, so they were like, come to this corner, call when you get there. So I get to the corner, I call, they tell me the address, I get in the elevator, and I'm like, I go in, and now that I've done this so many times, it's sort of fun for me, because I know what everyone's feeling. And I'm not an unkind person, but I do like the feeling of, like, I can see that everybody, it, like, when they're coming in for interviews, unless they've been a dom before, you can sort of see the fear.
The trepidation.
Yeah, and I guess I get off on it a little bit, because then I have to interview them, and I'm kind of, like, laying down this list of, like, how this works very clinically when it's, like, very weird stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I'm, like, giving you, like, the rundown. Like it's normal, but it's not normal. And that's what I love about the place. Like,
what was your experience, though, when you went for the interview?
So I went in, and I sat down, and I had my resume, and I was like, would you like a copy of my resume? And they were like, no. the only requirement for me to be a manager was, like, that I was over 30, or 30 or over, and that I didn't want to be a dom.
Oh, right.
And I was like, well, my birthday's in a few days. I'll be 30. And I had thought about being a dom, and I was like, it's weird. I've let a lot of trash inside of me, but I'm very picky about what that trash is. So I realized I don't like touching certain people. Like, I don't want to, like, what they have to do with some of these old gross men, I don't think I could bring myself to do.
So you just told them straight up, I don't want to be a dom.
I don't want to be a dom. I was like, I want to be a manager.
I'm happy to be the crabby manager outside.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, indifferent to your fetish.
Yeah, well, and it's funny because I get propositioned a lot, because I think part of the psychology in some ways for them is, like, that I don't do it.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not, like, unattractive. So they're like, you wouldn't consider doing it.
You know? Like, hitting on the bartender at the strip club.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 And
which I've never done, by the way. I always feel like, feel like that would be a thing.
Right. I mean, people have offered to buy my shoes off my feet right there, you know, just like all sorts of things. And there have been a couple times where, like, they do tip-ins, and, like, I've had a girl come out and be like, look, if you come in for like a minute and a half, he just wants you to see me spank him.
And you're allowed to do that?
I know that some of the other managers before me had done it. Like, some of them did, like, stuff, and I won't do that. But I'm like, if I am in there for, like, literally under 2 minutes for $40, I'll do it. But, like, I'm not going to sit in there for 5 minutes. I don't want to see that man's dick. I saw a dick today I didn't want to see. I was like, you fucking, you know how this works. You know, I'm going to drop you off. She's going to meet you, and then I'm going to come back and get the money. But he, like, wanted me to see him naked. And I don't really give him a lot. I'm just like, whatever, dude. And they, like, sort of like it.
They like the fact that happened?
They like, yeah. The psychology of, like, I had to see that. But I'm also, like, I don't, like, look rattled, and I don't look like I give a fuck. And I think sometimes they like that I don't give a fuck, and then sometimes they like the idea that maybe I'm, like, shook by it. And I'm just kind of like, you know, whatever. Seen it.
Is it in your authority to be like, dude, you knew that wasn't cool, you got to leave?
No, I just kind of, I just, because, I mean, they're there to be naked and do whatever the fuck they're going to do. It's just like, you know, I think he liked the idea of, like, surprise, you know? And I'm like, I don't look surprised. I'm just like, oh, great, there's, like, your tiny dick. And it's kind of fun because sometimes I'll say shit, you know, like, yeah, and, like, I get to do that. Like, so there's a guy who, like, comes and sees a girl and he won't session, but he'll bring her lunch or coffee. And the first time he did that, when I had to go get it from the door, I was like, next time, bring me a fucking coffee. And then I just closed the door and brought it to her. So now every time I'm there, I get a coffee.
Oh, nice. That's great.
It's fun.
So that's your little bit of domination.
Yeah, no, I you know, like, I'm kind of it. I'm kind of into it in my personal life a little bit. Not like it, like at parties or whatever, but like in like my personal sexual experience, like I kind of like the switch sort of life.
You like going back and forth.
Yeah. Mm. I like everybody having a little fun.
But you are kind of like, you're a dominatrix of this dominatrix. Like, you're the boss, you know?
I'm the
madam. You tell them what happened. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're the madam.
But I'm also like, I like this job because to me it doesn't feel like a job. And I'm good at it. You know, like, I enjoy going there. I feel, incidentally, like a sense of purpose. I don't know why. This is not like, you know, something I had ever thought about or planned. I have fun there. And like, so as a result, they really like me and this other manager who sort of has the same attitude. Like, we have fun with it. Cause it's like if a guy calls and he's like, I want only pink toes, you know, I'll get on this intercom. So I have an intercom that I can talk to everybody. And I'm like, hello, ladies, everyone with pink toes, please come to the office. Like, one call for pink toes, over and out, you know? And I just like love doing it. And I can hear them laughing and it's fun. And then they all come to the office and I'm like, can you get your toes pink in the next 30 minutes? And they're like, fuck, fine, you know? And so everybody has a better attitude, you know, when you're sort of
having fun. Because it's a bit of fun.
And is it a 9 to 5?
It's open. It opens at 10. And it closes at 1:30 in the morning.
Oh, but you do the daytime. So you
I do the daytime so I can do comedy.
You're the daytime manager.
Yeah.
And whose responsibility is it then to roster the women? Or are they just allowed to show up? Because surely you can't be left with a shortfall in like a holiday weekend.
Yeah, I mean, like, they basically, they have to work 3 shifts. If they need to change their schedule, you know, they can do that. But basically, you're responsible for your 3 shifts. And like, it's really been an interesting process to see how the boss has like cracked down on that, because I've never worked a place where like I'll call a woman. I'm like, she's 2 hours late for work. And I'm like, hey, are you coming to work today? And she's like, well, I got to get my nails done, so I'll be there, you know, around 2 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, that's not what time you were supposed to start at 10, you know? So he's like come up with a system to sort of punish them into showing up. Like, being like, if you call out day of, you owe 3 shifts.
Oh, right, yeah.
Stuff like that. But we'll see.
You got to do something.
Yeah, but they're all, you know, a lot of them, especially the ones that, like, do this professionally, are very like, okay, try me, you know? Like, they're like, you can't function without me.
Yes.
And
he's not paying. Yeah, there's no salary, so.
Right, and I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? Like, you
I know, and I got to assume that it's living in some legal limbo, so I'm sure that both parties would have a claim on
it'd be interesting. I mean, he like recently found out I did stand-up comedy and you know, was upset with me. And
really?
Yeah.
He likes discretion,
right? And it's like, I've never said what it's called or where it is or whatever, but it's also like, there have been people who have approached me who are like, I want to go. Like, because I'm into feet. And I'm like, let me give you my foot Instagram, because I sell pictures of my feet on the internet. You know?
You don't send them to the, you don't, yeah, you don't give the address.
No. I mean, it's like, look, you can Google it. I mean, there's a few in this city. It'll come up, you know?
Yeah.
But he obviously likes you to give you a month off to go to Fringe, so.
I mean, I hadn't worked there for a minute, and then I have probably the most unique managerial situation there, and it's that, like, I worked there, he didn't like that I didn't have flexibility with my schedule, then he was like, okay, we don't need you anymore, and I was like, cool, and then a few months later, he's like, can you please come back, and they were like, that he's never brought a manager back before, and then it kind of happened again, like, I went out, then I'm back in, so I kind of, like, I'm weaving in and out, but he was very, like, do not talk about the place, and yet here we are.
Oh, right.
So, well, but I mean, it's,
I
like,
I cannot put your name on the,
no, it's, I mean, he doesn't know my name.
Oh, really?
I have a different name there. I don't know what he saw. I think he saw a tape that I had on my website. So it's like, he knows my name, but he doesn't know my name, if that makes sense.
Okay.
I have a different name there. Everybody does. So, I don't think he's like looking.
So you don't. Yeah. So you don't. You're not involved in rostering the girls. They just pick their three shifts.
Yeah. I mean, like, I hire people.
Oh, you do hire.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you mean by rostering?
I mean, scheduling. Like, you're not involved with the scheduling.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. Like I hire people. I mean, and that's yeah. So like I hire the women, not managers though, not fellow managers.
And then what about the? I mean, there's got to be some element of risk. Have you had any incidents where?
No. I mean, and that's, there was one thing I heard about, and like, I'm smiling just because this, when I was overhearing this conversation, I was like, this is one of those things where it's like, this is like water cooler talk for here.
Yeah.
But I guess some guy came in to do the fantasy wrestling and he was getting a little rough. And then a girl went in to tip in and she was like, yeah. And so I tip in, and then he wouldn't even let Sasha referee the whole time I was in there. He wouldn't let her referee. What the fuck is it? And I'm like, this is not a real conversation, you know? And then he ended up getting kicked out because he was just being like too rough. So
in the wrestling room.
Do you have bouncers? Because like you go in and kick them out.
So there's no security.
No.
It's very dangerous because a big strong guy, no matter what, could really take you on.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the interesting part about it. And I think about this world and just about like BDSM, like even in your personal life, it's like there's a very strong core of like trust to do this type of work. Like if a man comes in and he crosses a line, he knows he's not allowed there anymore. And now where is he going to get his fetish? You know, not everybody's Louis C.K. Not everybody gets to just do that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you have to find an outlet for it. So
that's, I thought of Louis C.K. actually when you said, they can masturbate. I was like, why didn't he just go there?
I was thinking about Louis C.K. as well when you said the guy just had his dick out when you
There are guys, there's a guy who just like, so there's like typical, which is like old, fat, white, you know, nothing you want to be around. Then there's like dungeon hot, which is like, you know, I guess like Benicio del Toro, like, you know, he's kind of like sexy ugly. So like dungeon hot is like sexy ugly. And then there's like the hot dudes that come in where I'm like, whatever you want, like you can like call me, like I am down. And it's always fun to see what they want because you're kind of like, okay, so this one guy came in, he was like a smoke show, and I was like, everybody was like, holy fuck, he was like a new client. So I take him in the room and whatever. And what he basically wanted, so he picked a girl and then he wanted to do a public. And everybody was like,
he wanted to do a public?
So a public is like where all the women go in and, you know, they want to be seen by everybody.
Does he want to be humiliated?
They want different things. So what he wanted was to show everybody how hard he could get. Right? So I, because they all went in, I didn't get to go. I was like on the outside and I could hear it. Because they were all like, oh, yeah? Okay, let's show, you know. So they all go in there like, oh, are you going to show us how big your dick can be? Your big heart, that little thing's going to get hard. And he couldn't get hard.
No way.
Yeah, that's the thing. He couldn't get hard because, you know, he was like trying. And they were like, oh, you can't do it, you know. And I'm like, this is fucking hilarious. So he couldn't even like get his fantasy fulfilled because,
maybe his fantasy was to not get hard.
One, that's the thing. But I think that's what he wanted. He wanted to be like so masculine and like, you know, show them what a big guy, whatever, you know? Like, that's what the one girl who had been sessioning with him said. So that's why it was sort of funny. Like, during the public, it just, like, shuddered and got soft, you know?
That's funny.
Yeah. But
it's look, isn't it great, though, that he's going and doing it there and not, like, in front of a restaurant?
Yeah, and I mean, right. And that's, I guess, like, that's the thing. I haven't experienced anybody crossing a line because they... You know, a lot of them, like, if they're good at their job, develop relationships with these clients, you know, and so it's like they'll be loyal or they'll be like, I'm going to see so-and-so. Like, you know, there's a guy who goes in. Everybody loves him. He is a teacher. But his issue is he has a micro penis and he's a virgin and he's never had sex and he's never gotten hard because that's how small his dick is. So he comes there for like affection and attention and they, make fun of his dick. Like they told him to bring in a bag of baby carrots so they could see how many carrots were bigger than his dick, you know? And And like it was his birthday and one of the girls was coming around. She's like, do you want to sign the birthday card for him? And everybody had signed it and some had like written happy birthday. And like one girl wrote like, you know, the only thing more pathetic than our sessions is your pathetic dick. Happy birthday, you know, like.
He likes that?
He loved it.
I think this is quite a lovely story.
No, I mean, like people, you know, it's interesting because people judge it in all sorts of ways. But like, there's a couple who went in and I guess they were really into the BDSM scene. And then the wife got MS and they spoke with the mistress before the session. And she was like, you know, I just feel like I've lost my power as a woman and like as a person. And it hurts. It feels like bad. So what the mistress did was she tied up the husband and then tied up the wife. And like, she beat the husband in front of the wife, but then she made the wife stand in front of the mirror and tied up and like say positive affirmations about how strong she was, you know? And like, whatever reason, by the end of it, she was just like, thank you. Like, I needed this. Like, you helped us as like in our relationship and what, you know? And it's like, so it's definitely good. I mean, there's definitely some real fucked up shit that goes on there.
Sure.
You know, like a lot of men are liars. Shocked me. And like, you know, and have very twisted histories. I mean, and I don't know, you know, take it out. Like, they're like, I want the youngest looking women here. And you're like, this,
yeah, you're like, this too is close to the bone.
This is weird, you know,
Lepstein.
But yeah. But you know, there's like good that comes out of it too. Yeah.
So before we move off the club, cause I know I want to talk about your foot fetish business.
Oh yeah. It's
So you have good relationships with the girls or you keep a little bit of distance?
I mean, I generally have, I have a very friendly relationship with everybody. And like, you know, they know what I do. And I'm like, look, I would never want to put anyone in jeopardy for any reason. That's, I would never name the place. I'm never going to name somebody specific. You know, if I tell a story, like, you know. But I am the manager, so I try to keep like a professional distance. Yes. But with that said, some of them come to see me. I just went to one of them rented my room because like I had a comic drop out on me last minute, and like she rented my room for the month, and I came back and my room has never been cleaner. She left me Reese's cups, aww, you know, and was just left me a little note, and I was like, this is adorable. Like,
and is there any? Is there, what's that, Katie?
Well, I was gonna say, you obviously have a good relationship with them when they haven't told the boss either that you do stand up. Like, they know that you're trying to keep that separate.
Somebody did something, but okay. I don't know who or what or when, or maybe they didn't. It's hard to say, but I have a generally good relationship because I'm nice to them. I mean, without them, there is no business. And I've seen the way other managers can treat them. And like this man, you know, he doesn't trust them probably because, I mean, the nature of the whole business, mm-hmm. But like, I'm just like, there's no point. I mean, it's just like comedy. There's no point in being shitty. That makes it miserable for everybody, yeah. You know, and demanding and rude and whatever you and like entitled. It's just like, be polite, be a person, try to have a nice time. You know,
do you find there's a broad spectrum of women, or that there's like some running themes with them
in terms of what they're
just the type of people that they are? Obviously you're in a very non-judgmental situation, yeah, which is great. But when you look at them, do you think, oh, this is?
I mean, I would say it's broader than you think. Like, yeah. You know, there's people who come into it because they're like, oh, I'm going to, you know, do this now for, you know, a week.
It's like exciting for them.
Yeah. And then there's the people who are good at it and professional and take it seriously. And, you know, like would be walking around and you would have no idea.
Of course. Yeah.
And then,
I wonder what even made them. It never even occurred to me as something that I would do. Like, I wouldn't, like, I would have thought of stripping first. I never even realized that was a profession.
I mean, there's girls paying their way through school. I mean, there's girls who, like, their family don't know what they do. And they're, like, 21 and they're paying their way through school. And I don't know where I guess they think they're studying, but that's, like, how they're doing it. You know, their secret life.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so and then there's people who, like, I don't know why the fuck they're there. You know, one of the craziest interviews I had was like this girl called me at the interview time saying she was on, you know, the corner. And I was like, and she was like, I'm lost. And I'm like, how the fuck do you get lost in Midtown Manhattan? I mean, it's a grid system.
It's a grid. Like, numbers.
And she had gone to Brooklyn. So she was like in fucking Chinatown in Brooklyn. And I was like, all right, I mean, you can come here in an hour, I'll like interview you. So an hour later she shows up. She is like overweight, blind visibly in one eye, and has like braces and like just an insane. And I'm like, why are you here? Like, I don't understand what's like, why, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this is this path that you've decided suddenly out of nowhere to pay for the dental work or what, you know? And I interviewed her and I was like, you don't even know what this is. Like, you like know what it, but you don't. It was just so bizarre to me. And she was also an idiot because she like went to Brooklyn, which I'm like.
So she just randomly saw the ad in Craigslist?
Yeah. And like, we'll pretty much interview anybody, you know?
Do you find like some girls move like from strip clubs to that because they feel like it's like less hassle or less hours?
I haven't, you know, frankly, like in terms of strip, like, because I'll be like, what's your experience? I've met a couple strippers, right. but
not a feeder, not a general feeder to the
beat. Yeah, yeah. It's like a different
burlesque.
Again,
same. Yeah, not much.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple people who have gotten into burlesque since doing this, but right. This is like, you know, I'd say a little more specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. You know.
I have you seen that Netflix TV show?
You know, it's yeah. So I actually, because of course, like, you know, being that I'm a comic, I'm like want to write about it one day. And I had there's all these scenarios that have happened there that I'm like, this is hilarious, especially from the perspective of a manager. You know, like I don't see a lot of what goes on, but I hear about it.
Yeah.
And hearing about it is almost funnier than seeing it.
Yes.
Because yeah. The way they're describing and like talking about things, like, you know, there was a guy who wanted a 30-minute session to be shit on, and he canceled twice. And the girl was like, on the third day, she was like, if he does not show up on time, I'm taking a shit. I've been holding this in for 3 fucking days. He can go fuck himself. And he was like, 3 minutes late, she was like, I'm about to do it. And then he comes in and she's like, get the money. I'm ready to go. This is, you know, over. So I go in and he's like, so I want to do a meet. I want to have a couple girls come in for a golden while we do the brown. So I come out and I'm like, sorry, he's doing a meet for a, you know, like a double golden. She's like, you got to be fucking kidding me, you know? And so I send the women in. They come out. I go in. I'm like, all right, who, you know, who'd we pick? Who's your flavor today for the golden? And so he picks these 2 girls. So then the one girl goes in for the shitting. And then the other 2 are like, all right, we're about to tip in because it's just 30 minutes. So they're going to be in there for 15. So they go in like after 5 minutes, come out after 15. And I'm like, so, you know, how is it in there? And she's like, oh, you know, it's just like a big piss shit party. Having a great time. I'm like, cool. All right. Like, sounds good.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's just funny because it's like the casual nature that we're talking about things that are really taboo for people.
Very abnormal.
Yeah. I mean, and which has sort of been the essence of like my very existence, like yes. The things I've done and been living through. So I find that very funny. So when that show came out, I was a little. So
what's the show?
It's basically a comedian. So there's a stand-up comedian, and then his friend is a secret dominatrix.
Yeah.
Or she works in one of these dungeons.
Yeah.
And then he ends up getting roped into it, and he does a lot of this. So
what's it called?
Bonded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
And my other position that I work, I work for a bipolar cokehead in a staffing agency. So we staff personal assistants. So he was the personal assistant to a dominatrix and was a comedian. And I'm like, that's my life, and I guess now I don't get to write about it. I watched it, and like I saw things like I don't like the word problematic, but I just saw things where I was like, oh, that's not, we don't do, like, that's not the way this works. Like, he's just like in on sessions without consent from the client, like shit like that, where I'm like, oh, this is nothing like what I would do,
not
so
reality.
I'm fine. But the first night when I heard it came out, I was like, oh, fuck me. Like, this is, you know, but I'm kind of like, it's very stylized. It's not very true.
It's always that way, though. It's always not true to the.
And like, but my version of it is sort of like, I'm a manager.
You
so.
Can still write it. Sure.
Yeah.
There's plenty of shows on similar, you know, topics. So you're
right.
Fine.
When it's less about the voyeurism of like what they're doing and more about, I guess, the managerial, like the fact I'm like doing all this paperwork.
Yeah.
And, you know, like. You know, I'm like, they come out from meeting the guy. I'm like, what do you need? What can I get you? And they're like, all right, I'm going to need CBT rope. I need a pinwheel. I need a dildo harness. Butt plug. No, the pink, you know. And I'm like throwing these things in.
But going into that, did you know what all these things were before? Because let's say if I applied for that job and then I went in and then they were like, oh, I need a butt plug. I'd be like, I don't even know what that looks like. So I'd be going through the.
I mean, there were things I knew and things you can kind of get. But then there's like things that I needed explained, like sounding. Which are like these like long metal rods that like on the end have different thickness and they are inserted into the urethra.
Jesus. Oh.
So like that I need it explained to me.
They're called like, sounding?
Sounds, yeah.
And that sounds?
They're, so they're called sounds and the process is like sounding.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. So, why? Because
any
it
other
makes
little
noise?
Gems?
Fuck if I people know. Screaming?
Any other gems before we move on?
I probably have told this, but like, and there's 2 things. I mean, well, I'll just tell the one. I really like this one because of the psychology of it. There's a man who used to be in the military, and he came in for the first time. And what he wanted, his fantasy was to have her be a FedEx dispatcher, and he was a FedEx delivery driver. And all day long, she was a bitch to him on the radio, just being horrible to him. And then when he got back to the FedEx later that day, she was still being real nasty. And then what she would do is make him eat her shit. And the girl that he picked was like, listen, I'm sorry, I don't do the brown stuff. We got people who do. I didn't realize it was this kind of session. I can't do it. And he was like, I can't either. So out of his backpack, he produced a jar of peanut butter and granola bars. And he was like, I'm going to make this. And then you're going to pretend that this is your shit. So she was like, all right. So he's going to like Iron Chef some shit up in the corner before this starts. And then so she does it. They do it. He eats it. And at the end of it, she's like, how was it? And he was like, you know what? I don't think the peanut butter was really the right consistency. I'm going to bring something else next time. So next time he brings Nutella, and he does it with Nutella and the granola. And then she was like, all right, how is that? He's like, we're not there yet. You know, next time, snack packs, pudding cups. And does the same thing. We nailed it. I think he liked it. And then he didn't use all the pudding cups, so some of us got a snack afterwards. But what I like about the
whole
thing...
That's a lot of trust. Like,
yeah.
You didn't think maybe he was actually putting a little bit of...
Well, he's eating the shit. She's not. Well, and the pudding cups are sealed.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But like, what I like about that is like this man has this fantasy that he cannot even truly fulfill. Because he can't bring himself to eat human shit.
But oh, he so wants he doesn't to. Actually...
No, but he wants to so badly that he's going to try to make it out of food, and then we have to go into this whole world where we pretend that pudding and granola in its natural, you know, first state is shit. So he can, like, feel something.
He needs to put some sweet corn in there, you know?
Yeah. Ooh, there we go. I'll throw that to him next time.
Yeah, just say a little bit of sweet corn. Just make it seem like, oh, yeah, there's some undigested... Yeah. Stuff in there.
That's great. That was quick thinking, Des.
I'll let him, yeah.
When it comes to shit, man.
Des knows his shit.
You need to.
No pun intended.
You need anybody to help with their, you know, fake fantasies. Let me know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll always have a suggestion.
It's
the shit thing I can't understand. I've never done a golden shower, but I guess I can understand this weird sensation of this warm water flowing all over you.
Yeah.
Might be exciting, but the shit thing I just don't get.
I peed in somebody's mouth.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. I find it hard to pee in a cup. Never mind.
It was difficult. I was like, wow, I have stage fright. This is interesting.
So you peed in somebody's mouth.
Yeah.
Did you sit on their face?
It was I was dating this guy, and you know, you find out a lot about people as the years go on. And yeah, I was like hovering over his face, and then he peed a little in my, it's not for me. I don't really, I was like.
Yeah, the peeing in the mouth thing, no.
I mean, I was like, let's do it. But I was like, I don't really, this is not something I need to clock in for ever again. But it's interesting because you learn a lot about the psychology of people. Like, I mean, I recently slept with someone who I was like, oh, you like an idea of thinking I'm being like very, like I'm telling you secrets that nobody's ever gotten out of me because I'm like this like wounded like person. And it's funny when you can see what another person's doing and they think you can't see it. Like things in my life, including this, have led me to see that. So it's sort of fun then because I'm like, you're playing a game with me, but you don't realize I see the game, you know? And it's just sort of interesting. Like this world is like very much.
Oh, so that world has opened your eyes to that.
Yeah. And I mean, with that said, you know, but it was really interesting. Like this guy that I was like, I slept with a few times. I was like, oh, like you're thinking you're smarter than, and like there's a control thing. And now this is kind of fun for me because now I'm going to play the game on your level, which is lower than the level I'm actually on. So, you know, it's just really interesting.
Analysis.
Huh?
How'd he get wet with all that going on?
Yeah.
Thinking.
I know. Well, you never come. I'll could tell do you that. That's for sure.
I could do what some of you were thinking in my past relationships.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with that said, I've never really had a successful relationship. But I mean, in terms of just like the psychology of like sex and like whatever that means, you know, like and seeing what somebody's like wanting or into. This has really like done that for me. You know?
So you're also a foot fetish model.
I mean, I moonlight. I have an account on Instagram that I made on the suggestion of one of the girls in the dungeon. She was looking at my feet. She was like, you have great feet. You can make some money. So I was like, sure. And like, how do we even do that? So she got me all started. She was like my little manager for a minute, taking photos of my feet. Or I'd take them and send them to her, and then she'd hashtag them. And that foot account, like if I really put more effort into it, I would be raking in money. But I, you know, comedy plus all, you know, it's very, there's a lot going on, but I had 150 people add me within like 2 weeks, just with like 6 photos. Do you know what I mean? Like, wow. It was rapid.
How do you sell the feet images on that? Oh, they ask for it personally? A personalized
one? Yeah, so they DM you and they'll ask for certain things. You know, I have gotten fan art. Like, if you want it, I'll send it to you. Like, there's like a, I love this. I mean, I'll read you this opus this man wrote me. But like, they'll make fan art. Well, it's called Giantess. That's the fetish. The idea that like, I am a giant woman and they are like a millimeter high. And like, they live in my shoes and I step on them all day long. And then crush their bones. And I like, you know, and they just have to smell my feet. And so they'll make fan art where they'll put a tiny little person in front of one of my foot pics and wow. send it to me. And be like, I made this for you. And I'm like, oh, great. You know.
And when that first came to you, did you know what that was? Or did you then find out what giantism
is? I found out like through just all of that. It's like more than just like feet. It's like, you know, like some guys are into wrinkles or toes or like the ball or the heel, into crushing things. You know,
any psychology behind the foot fetish that you're aware of?
I mean, like feet are just sexual for these people, which they're not for me at all. Like I got a
like
little
the stone. Way, like the way a lot the of men they, like breasts.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like I got a little stone one night. Went into a deep dive. Like you know how you do. You just end up and like, and I was really like thinking about it. I was like, damn, this is like I even looked at a foot pic today, and I was like, am I turned on by that? Like, but I don't think I'm really like into it like that. But I find the foot fetish guys, in my personal experience, are very needy. They want to feel like a connection to you and like that you really enjoy the idea of crushing them or them painting your toes like with a little paintbrush and like that there's like a friendship there. So why it's so exhausting is like they'll want to write you all this stuff and have you sort of respond. But then at a point you're like, you need to give me another tribute because this is not free. Like this takes time to be your friend and I'm not your friend, you know? So you have to be kind of nice to them, which is not my, I don't have like a lot of time to add like for boyfriends that I'm not,
yeah.
Like I'm
yeah,
not well, getting
absolutely.
Off, you know?
I mean, you have to write.
And what about the first foot fetish interview though? What was that?
Well, so that was like to do these foot parties, which basically, you know, I'll talk about anything, but like one of the reasons I didn't want to do it was like, I didn't want to be in my lingerie in front of people. I'm pretty modest in the way I like dress and like, you know, like if I decide I want to fuck you, like it'll be great. It'll be like gross and pornographic and very nice and whatever. But like, if I don't, like, I don't want to be in my underwear around a bunch of fucking dudes, even if they're only there for my feet. Mm-hmm. It may, you know? So I went on this interview and, you know, he basically like took my socks and shoes off. I was laying on the couch and he rubbed my feet on his face and sucked on my toes and kissed my feet. And it was my birth. And I was like laying there thinking like this, it's my fucking birthday. Like, why is this? This is not what I wanted for my birthday, but I guess this is 30. And then he said, now you need to dominate me. And what you need to do is like, you're going to step on my face. Like, so his couch was like against a wall. So I started stepping on his face, like pushing his head against the wall. And he's like just breathing into my feet. And I could tell he was like getting off, you know? And he said I needed to take my toes and grab his nose and just try to like wriggle it around. And like, I was going to rip it off. So I was just doing it. And I was like, this dude like is like coming in his, you know, he's like coming and I'm not going to get paid for this. And I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be in my underwear. Apparently there's parties that a woman runs where you don't have to be in your underwear, which I've considered going with like with one of the girls, but it's just like, I don't have the time, but you can make like $300, $400 to be there. Like a couple hours.
Wow. That's great money. Oh, my feet are so ugly.
They like ugly feet. Ooh. They like all feet. Like, there's something for everyone. Wow. You know what I mean?
Like, but that's your personal opinion about your feet.
No, so. They are ugly.
Like sometimes they like them when there's like they're blistered. Like I'll post on my thing. I'm like, oh, I've been walking around all day. My feet are stinky and blistered. And people are like, oh my God, let me. Can you write like the first letter of my name on the bottom of your feet and send it to me? I'm like $25. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I do $25 a photo, $50. $75 for a video. If you want socks, that's going to cost you.
What about writing?
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I'll include that in the $25.
Oh, that's included?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, if it's just like a little letter. Like a guy wanted a T. And like, oh man, this has been funny. Like the comics who are into feet. So I wrote a bit about it. I don't do it a lot because I don't love it. But like, I've had comics see it. And then they like hit me up and they're like, and I'm like, all right, let's make a deal. Like, I'll send you pictures of my feet, but you need to pay me. Like,
or if you run a really good room,
give me some. Yeah, yeah, right. Well, none of them do. That's why they're probably obsessed with feet.
So, have you had any enticing, indecent proposals financially with the foot fetish thing?
Not really. I mean, I had somebody wanted me to crush mice. I'm not going to do that.
Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, they wanted you to send a video of you crushing mice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I don't wanna do that. Animal cruelty.
Yeah. I'm not into it. Yeah. That's not for me.
And have you had anybody say, if you come to my house, like, and just step all over my face?
I did have a guy who, you know, wanted, he was like, I'll take your new headshots, I'll do this and that, like, because he knew I was a comic. The people on my foot account don't know who I am, but the people who have seen me do comedy and seen the bit then obviously know who I am. You know, and I'm just like, I don't have it in me to fake that relationship, like, especially face-to-face. Like, it's already hard enough for me to do it anonymously on the internet. And I'm not, I just don't, I don't have it in me to be like, oh, I love this. Like, that's what these girls are so good at. And maybe they even do like it, you know, to some degree. Like, I know a girl who, like, does not fuck her boyfriend, but she pegs dudes for money. But she's like, I'll blow my boyfriend if he takes me to the casino.
Why won't she fuck her boyfriend?
She doesn't want him.
Oh.
And I'm like, that. So whatever that is about her, that's like where her psychology lies. She likes pegging these dudes for money. And then why she has this boyfriend, I don't fucking know. But like...
Well, yeah. He must be looking after her, is he?
I think he's rich, yeah. I would say, likely. But so is she. I mean, she's very popular.
How much do they make again?
They make a cut of what the amount is. Because, you know, we need to pay for the place. And
yes, yes. I figure that's where the money was for the owner.
What would be
for
the
Mr.
cook?
For Mr. Big.
So the rates, what I quoted you was what we just raised it to. So they were making 50 per half hour and then 80 per hour, which is like not a lot. So I think it's been raised to 60 and then 90 or 95.
And they get tipped on top of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they're good at their job, they will get tipped. I mean, like, if that's what I mean. Some of them are just like, you know, weekenders, I guess is what you would call them. They're like, oh, we're just here now. But the ones who are good, like, get me tipped, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, you get your tip. Like, you know, I've been tipped 50. I've been tipped 100 for doing absolutely fucking nothing. For bringing, like, a towel.
Really?
Yeah.
Some guys are just very flush with the cash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Katie also mentioned to me that you had in your adolescence, you had a wild time too, right?
Yeah. It seemed to have been a routine to just sort of be a little carefree.
A little wild.
Yeah. But I call it like an organized chaos because I'm also very responsible. Mm. Like I have, you know, an 8-10 credit score. My apartment is my apartment that I rent out to someone. I keep an animal and plants alive, you know, like.
Yeah.
I'm hyper responsible. But
what was it in your teenage years that made your parents think it'd be a good idea to send you to like some disciplined place?
It might have been when I ran away to Chico, California for 10 days.
How old are you?
15.
Right.
And it was just your mom, right?
It was my mom.
Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Reno. But that I at the time I'd been living in Sacramento. So that was about, it was like two and a half hours away. And, you know, they didn't know where I was.
So you ran from Reno or you ran from Sacramento?
I ran from Sacramento to Chico. Yeah.
Just like, fuck it.
Well, I have a very... My half-brother on my mom's side. He's 20 years older than me. And he, for whatever reason, decided to kind of act as a parental figure, which, like, ultimately is not what he is. Mm-hmm. And I would say, like, has anger issues, I guess. We could, like, put it mildly. And nothing physically abusive, but just like emotionally,
an angry dude
will go into a rage that is uncontrollable. And again, it's never been violent, but like that like started when I was like younger because of my acting out toward my mother. You know, we had very different lives with her because he's 20 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he, if I was going to evaluate, I would say he doesn't see it like that, you know, and he probably also hates my father and as a result does not like me. I mean, he's sort of said as much at this point.
And, yeah, so your father is your mother's second husband?
Third.
Third, okay.
Yeah, and then...
And they split up then as well.
Yeah, everybody just, that's like, that's divorce across the board for everyone.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to my first one. So. Yeah, I mean, I got some catching up to do. Both my mom and my grandma had been divorced twice by the time they were my age, and I'm like waiting for a text back, you know? Like, so, but yeah, like he had these issues, and I, you know, and I was being a little asshole, you know.
You were being a teenager.
I was being a teenager, and that's the way I
when
sort
you say
see.
A little asshole, like yeah. What's the worst thing that they were
I mean,
doing?
The morning I ran away, I had refused to go to this therapy session, and my mother had called the police, and they kind of came and were like, you need to listen to your mom. And then my brother...
Well, your mother called the police for what?
Because I wouldn't go to therapy? I wouldn't go. But, you know, in... There,
were,
I mean,
were you court mandated to go to therapy?
No, but...
So why were the police involved?
It was that kind of came became a sort of standard move.
It's very dramatic.
Very, yeah, my mom...
So your mother calls the police and my daughter won't go to therapy?
Yeah. But I, at this point, I'd also stopped go. I had, like... I was very intelligent. I had realized there was a thing called home and hospital school. So I told my public school that I was deeply depressed, and they put me on home and hospital, which means some dipshit shows up at your house once a week and you do these like half-assed classes. So I was basically free, like at 15, and my best friend was like 18. So I was like starting to have a time. I was like very excited to be alive. And so, you know, I was, there were things she was contending with there that she didn't know what to do.
So she called, so you didn't, so the therapy was like in the house or you're actually supposed to
no,
go
No, I was supposed to go somewhere. I mean, that was like probably the eighth therapist because
we got a code 551. We got another teenager. Yeah. Won't look into her emotions. Send it out to the house there.
She won't forgive her dad. But I was like going to these therapists and like making up stories too. I mean, I was just starting to have a ball, and like I was probably starting to definitely experiment with like weed and alcohol around this time, which also I think is normal. But my mom is very overprotective and had been for a long time, so I think that was sort of what started accumulating this. And then my brother would come and he would try to be like dad.
Hey, you need to sort yourself out.
Yeah, so he called and was like, I'm coming there this weekend and your life is going to become extremely uncomfortable. And I think one of the reasons I wouldn't go, this is totally stupid and totally fair on my mom's part, I had wanted to go to Disneyland with my 18-year-old friend to Los Angeles at 15. And my mom was like, no. And I was like, fuck you, I'm going to go. So I ran away to Chico after my brother's phone call. Didn't tell him where I was. Never made it to Disneyland. They found me because there was a thing called LiveJournal. I don't know if you guys... It was like, this was like when the internet was still the wild, wild west. Like not everybody was on it yet. And I had been updating my live journal. I had taken a photo of a dragon in a tattoo parlor and a photo with a hot dog vendor who was apparently a well-known drug dealer in Chico. And so when the police got involved, they were able to start piecing together where I was, grilled my best friend who was supposed to be punk rock, but ended up, you know, folding like a cheap suit, you know, like when they finally were like, we have this evidence. And then they found me and then I got sent away like from there. I was driven to like a wilderness camp and then a Mormon therapeutic boarding school.
But you guys are Mormon?
No. And the place doesn't advertise as Mormon, but that's what it was.
Oh, so it was a Mormon therapeutic boarding
school. It was run
school.
By Mormons and you know, there were things,
but it's advertised as a sort of an adolescent discipline institution.
Yeah. A way to, rebuild the relationship with you and your parents and, you know, the brokenness.
And didn't you tell me that it came out a while later, though, that that place actually was quite abusive?
It's, I mean, a lot of laws were broken.
But how would, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, it's just, it's, I'm fine, but, like, I'm not, if that makes, like, I have figured out a way to completely, fully function in the world with that and, like, understand it and be fine with all of it. And, like, a lot of people I know from there haven't or have killed themselves, you know.
What went on there?
It's psychological. Like the idea is it's a level system. It's supposed to last a year and they will break you down and then rebuild you. And on level one, where you start, you're not allowed to wear shoes, you're not allowed to have tampons. These are privileges you earn back. You're not allowed to look at, talk to, or have third party communication with other level ones. So like if you're a level one, like you do not exist to me. And yeah, I mean, you're punished. It's like you're punished for feeling.
But what do you do when you have your period?
You can use pads.
Oh, you can use pads. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, that's a diaper, you know? Like, if you're coming from a world, you're like, I'm 17, and I was 15, but you're like, I use tampons. They're like, you're not allowed to.
It's just a very specific thing to yeah. take away from someone.
Yeah, I mean, like, there. So a girl had been acting out and, like, leaving pads, which was sort of funny, dirty pads around. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, I think this is funny. And it was funny until they were like, all right, you're all going to go to your rooms, and what you're going to do is face the wall, and you're all going to turn down, turn around and pull down your pants and bend over. And anyone who has a pad on, you know, is going to receive this, like, list of punishments. So whoever... I mean, you know, and that's like really something
Jesus.
When you're like doing it, you're like, I don't want to do, I shouldn't have to do, this isn't helping anyone. And I understand why, but like, it's very like, we're children.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And like, so that's like insane. And like, and I'm sitting there like, and I'm 15, I'm like, I see how wrong this is, but all I'm going to do is do what I'm told. Cause it's the easiest way out of this.
Yeah. Yes.
How long did you stay there?
I wasn't even there that long. I was there like 4.5 months.
So how'd you really get out of it? Time.
I got out of it because so I moved up to level 2, and what they did, when you're on level 2, you're allowed to have a visit there with your family and then have a therapy session. So what they did is they told me my mom was coming in the morning, and they told my mom to come in the afternoon. So by the time, like, it's noon, I kept asking them, have you heard from my mom? Like, so this isn't important to my mom, you know, because I've been in this environment that's yeah. fucked up, you know? And I'm like kind of looking forward to this to sort of be like, because you have to gingerly walk around it because they use all these like therapeutic terms, like, you know, you don't want to enable her and you don't want to listen to her. She's going to try to manipulate you and tell you stories about the place. So I'm sitting
here. So they're saying that to your mother, is it?
Yeah. And my mom and I have talked about this at great length, and I've read like the literature they give the parents versus what they give the kids. I mean, it's all just horseshit. And, you know, so I was like angry. And so then they told me she was there, but we were going to have a therapy session first. And I went in and I saw her and I sat down, and my therapist was like, so is there anything you want to say to your mother? You know, I know we've talked about it a lot. And I just like exploded. And then my therapist was like, you know, you're acting inappropriately. I need you to give me your shoes, which is like a sign that I'm being dropped, and, you know, go join the other girls. I saw my mom for maybe a minute and a half. And, you know, then the therapist is trying to sell that to my mom, is like, you know, I know you're considering taking her out after 6 months, but she should really stay for the program. But my mom, fortunately, like, left that day thinking something's wrong. I feel like something's wrong. And I don't know, like, how to get her out of it. Because I was then there at least another month and a half. But, you know,
so that was... back down as a level 1.
I didn't get dropped.
Oh, you didn't get dropped.
I didn't get dropped.
Because it was a manufactured anger.
Right. But they made me feel like I was. And what also... So the game I had decided to play there that I felt like was going to be the best strategy to have was saying, like... Because I had been told I would be pulled after 6 months, which means leave. But if I was excited about that, the way staff and the girls would treat me would change, and then it would just be miserable, you know. Well, it's already miserable. It'd be more miserable because everybody wants to leave, you know. So I was like, I'm going to play the game that I want to be here and that I'm sad that I have to leave, because I'm understanding this is like a financial thing. They can't afford it. So I was like, I'll just play that round. So after that outburst, you know, and then I'm thinking I'm getting dropped. My therapist, there was so much therapy there. It was like group therapy day for everybody to be in a group together. My therapist called me aside after and was like, you know, what happened today was very, you know, telling and disturbing. And, you know, I talked with your mom and we decided you'll finish the duration of the program here. So I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I just, like, the way I feel right now even saying that, because, like, that feeling, I was like, I just fucked myself, you know, and... basically had a breakdown, like, in that moment. Like, I'd been pretty cool and calm and collected. And, you know, when somebody like that has a meltdown, everybody wants to see it. And I was just, because I was like, I just played the wrong strategy. I'm fucked, like, you know. But fortunately, my mom had just said that and ended up pulling me. But
pulled you on the 6 months.
She pulled me after, like, 4.5. But again, that was a whole manipulation. They told me she was coming Monday morning. They told her to come Sunday night. And the things that went on there just about, like, that fuck with your head, it's, like, it changed the chemistry of how I even, like, interact in this world.
Yeah, like, it's like Clockwork Orange shit.
Yeah, yeah. This is horrific.
And, I mean, for children, you know. Yeah. So it's, like... a lot of people like that I could see there who continuously were getting in trouble for very stupid things. I was like, you're too dumb to to make it through. Like, it was sad, you know. It was like, you're not learning, like, how to do this right. But I also, like, at one point felt crazy. I thought I was dead. Like, I was talking some real crazy talk at a point. And fortunately, there were two staff members there who, they hired people out of a newspaper ad to be people who are administering medication to minors. I mean, it's like, it's like lithium, shit like that. And like, so there were two staff members who worked there that I ended up getting close with. And they were like, we realize, like, we see that you shouldn't, no one should be there. But like, they were like, you don't need to be there. And were really supportive of me during that time. And like, when I was kind of like, I was like, maybe we've all died. Like, you know, you were raped. You were probably murdered. I probably overdosed on drugs. And we're in like limbo right now. And every time our parents come here, it's them thinking. I like talked this whole thing. And he was like, you cannot talk like that.
Out loud.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just, it still exists. They've changed their name.
Oh, it still exists.
Yeah. And I've been contacted. I'm too far out of it, but I was contacted. Like, they're doing like a, people are getting together to do a class action lawsuit. Finally.
Oh, God.
I mean,
why don't you get involved in it?
I'm too far out of it. Like, it's been too long since I was there. Like, I'm 30.
Oh, like the statutory.
Yeah.
So like 15, like, years.
You know, I'm like, look, I wrote a 50-page paper about it in college. Like, for.
So how is it too long? Because like,
I get, that's what I was, they asked me when I was there and I told them the years and they were like, oh, you know, you can't participate. But I like, I wrote a paper where I interviewed staff, other women, and where I had a phone call. Like, I called this place and talked to this woman who, like, you know, if I see her again, you know.
Like sleepers.
Yeah, like, I can never see this person again. But I had a conversation where she, like, is lying to me on the, like, I pretended to be a parent, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're just a liar.
Are yeah. you able to read that? Is that paper public or was it just for college?
It was for, I mean, I, you know, I was like, I'll send it to this lawyer.
You should make it into a book.
I was doing that with another girl, but then she was like, look, I'm having nightmares again. I can't do it.
But you should do it and stick it up on Amazon or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's really...
Mostly men or women looking after this? Was it all women?
It was all girls.
Yeah.
And then there were men who worked there. There were men who were part owners. They were related, the owners. Like,
so there were boys, sister, and a girls.
Yeah. So there was like a brother and a sister, and then like the husband of the sister... And then, like, my therapist, I think, was a part owner. I mean, they're like, I don't know what it is, but it's like therapy is not punishment. And this is like a punishment-based therapy system, yeah. Which is not therapy. Yeah. It's just, I don't know what the fuck it is.
Sounds like Magdalene Laundries. Do you ever see the Magdalene Sisters?
No.
In Ireland, we had the Magdalene Laundries, like places where fallen women were sent, and it was all quite abusive. But it was all, again, this sense of salvation through punishment.
Yeah, and like fear. I mean, they did this is like when I think they had this big group therapy, and they were like, they put us all into different groups. Like they were like, okay, and now we're gonna, and when you're in therapy, you could talk to everybody, right? And level ones could talk to each other, and people who are on silence from each other could talk to each other, and they were like, figure out, we'll give you guys a few minutes, figure out why you're in the group together. So we're like, oh, this is fun. You know, I was like, well, maybe it's because we like really like art and creativity and music, because we're looking around at everybody. And then, you know, they were like, all right, so say why you guys think you're in the group. And each group stood up, and they were of varying sizes. And then they were like, all right, we're going to tell you why you're in the group. So they started with this big group, and they were like, this is the positive group, and these are the positive peers. And we were like, okay. And then they started going to groups one by one, saying what they were, and they were all, like, negative things. And mine was, like, something like I secretly want to go home, and I'm like negative. I don't even remember, because I was like, okay, this is like going in a weird direction. And they were like, now what you have to do is each one of you are going to get up in front of your positive peers, and you have 1 minute to say why you belong in that group. And if they vote you in unanimously, you can go in. And if they don't, you have to spend a week on silence. And that means not talking to anybody, looking at anybody. So now you just see this thing, and you know, these positive peers, they're not positive peers. One of the people in that group is like somebody, I'll murder her if I see her again. And like, I know it's really aggressive, but the shit like she did there is insane. And, you know, no one made it in. So people are like sobbing, and then they give you the vest, the silence vest, and you're just like, I'm fucked. And so at the end of it, everybody's freaking out, because you're just like, how am I going to not talk to anybody for a week? And then they go, now you have a choice. to be on silence or to not. And then you're like, what is the right choice? What am I supposed to choose? Like, I don't want this. This is going to be painful. But if I choose, don't choose it, am I going to, you know, what it, and so it's just like, you don't even know what to do. And I'm like, I'm 15. I shouldn't even be thinking about any of this.
Mental torture.
Yeah, it is.
And under the name of like therapy. I mean, so, you know.
Sadistic.
That's existing somewhere. Jesus. And it's all just like a money-making thing. I mean, I went to the wilderness first, and somebody came there and evaluated me, who I thought was my friend, and I was like honest, and she went back and said, my mom told me what she said I said, and it was like lies. And so that's what ended up putting me in the next place. So it's just like a money funneling system for these people and these programs and these therapists, and they don't really have a high success rate. I mean, my best friend there is dead now.
And from suicide?
Yeah. And she was there because she struggled with eating disorders, with being raped, and the fact that she was adopted and was having issues reconciling with the fact that I guess she knew her birth mother had a whole new family. And so she should have never been punished for any of that. That's like shit she should have been working through in real therapy. And she got out, was in USC, very intelligent, rich family in Los Angeles, killed herself. She's just dead, you know? I mean, because they didn't help her. It just added to, like,
well,
what
was already...
Well, of
course it didn't help her.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of people I know, like, are going on to be, like, psychologists and whatever from it. And hopefully, you know.
And then some people end up working in the sex dungeons.
Right. Then that's... Or as comedians. Nothing funny about any. I mean, I'd like to write about it one day, but I'm just like, I don't know what's funny. I mean, it'll be when
well,
I.
Well, it doesn't have to be funny.
Yeah. You could just.
Well, honestly, it can actually be quite dark. I mean, well.
I mean, I'm already a little dark. I don't know if Katie's telling you. I'm already. People are like, you're dark.
Well, yeah, my Irish friends came to a comedy show we did. It was a really, really tough room, but they came up to me afterwards and they were like, Katrin would murder in Ireland. They just loved her dark comedy.
Yeah, because you're all
fucked up. Well, I'm Irish and English, so I hate myself.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's funny because that was an opening joke of my show.
Really?
I have a show about my dad, and I say my dad was born of an Irish mother and English father, so he's born to hate himself.
Oh, yeah. Well, me too. Hashtag me too.
But you're like, you know, from what I know of you, you're doing great now. You like, you know, you have your shit together.
Yeah, I mean, I feel very lucky that I guess I was able to take all of this and like, I mean, you know, how I ended up opening my show in Edinburgh, because people were like very shocked by my material for a while. I was like, look, this is what happened to me when I was 15. And when I got out of there, I decided I was going to live a life feeling open to the world and without fear, because you never know what's going to happen to you. And that was horrible. And at a very young age, and it was a crash course into learning like the way people are going to operate and how they'll sacrifice anybody. And I'm very happy with the decision I made, you know, like, sure, I ended up smoking a lot of meth after that and whatever. And that was a weird time, but like, I'm happy with it all. Every experience has been, I wouldn't change anything, and I don't feel afraid, and I'm not going to an office job and then coming home and watching TV while I eat dinner and then like doing missionary with some dipshit that bores me. And then doing it all over again. Like, I have a fun life, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, I care about my life. So, I have a job. I have a savings account. I have good credit. You know, like, I just learned what I value.
You have great hair.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm scared it's going to fall out one day.
I
was just going to say, do you still have a relationship with your mother?
Yeah. My mom and I are, you know, we've talked a lot about this. I would say the relationship with my brother is, like, pretty much non-existent. But my mom, like, look, I know she did it out of fear. I know she didn't do it to hurt me. I knew she did it because she loved me and she was being lied to. So it's like any grudge I hold about it really isn't on her. There's sort of a weird story here. I had heard about the place I got sent to before I got sent to it, because the girl who I was like mentoring in the wilderness had just come from there.
Oh.
So I begged my mom to send me anywhere else. But then this therapist, who was not my therapist the whole time I was in wilderness, was like, you're trying to manipulate her. And if you do that, you're enabling her. So we just never spoke about it again. And I just ended up getting shipped to this place that I knew I had already heard of, but like hoping that girl had been lying and she wasn't. So that was sort of like, you know, that's like walking into the gas chamber. I mean, maybe that's a little extreme.
No, but I know, but it's funny you should say that, because it feels like one of those things where, like, I've heard stories of this place and then it turns out to be true, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And
yeah, yeah. I mean, it's torturous. But, you know, I mean, you talked about this in Edinburgh.
I just started my show being like, look, like, I don't know what you think is going to happen here today. Because, like, my poster is me in a tub of noodles, and it's called Ew Girl, You Nasty, and it says an hour of funny filth. And people had been, like, silent. So I was like, I'm tired of bombing. Like, if you have an issue with this, there's some asshole who's depressed talking about golf on Cowgate. Go to that. But, or you can, like, watch a happy lady talk about how she used to smoke meth. It's really up to you. Like, I'm good. You don't have to feel afraid. And if you feel afraid, that's on you. You know? So I was, like, opening my show, just being like, this is why I've done these things.
I mean, you know, it's not that difficult. I mean, it's very interesting. You could structure a show more clearly about that.
Right.
The Edinburgh media love that.
Yeah, I mean, I basically was just doing my hour of stand-up, which I've written nothing about stand-up or drum. I haven't written, like, anything about this. I've tried a couple things about the wilderness one, because it's sort of funny, because you're, like, digging holes to shit in.
And you got Dr. Phil. You know, you can, like...
Dr. Phil endorsed the place I got sent to.
Oh, it's funny, because I wanted to ask you about Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
So he endorsed that place?
Yeah, he did it, like, on air. A girl, like, got sent there or almost sent there on air. Like, not long after I got out.
We're going to send you, you. Oh, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's all bullshit. So he
endorsed that place.
Yeah. It's all just it's a money man. It's all very corrupt. They don't really want to help anyone. They want your fucking money. I mean, they don't
give a shit. Including Dr. Phil.
Yeah. They don't give a shit about it. Dr. Phil is the worst of them all. He's on TV.
I used to watch him as a little kid.
I sometimes watch him now, and I'm like, wow.
What? I mean, it is fascinating television.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just so interesting the way, it's in the way he always has often has a solution for the young people, which is like, we're sending them to this place.
Yeah, this will help. And it's like, look, I'm not going to say there aren't places that probably do help. I just didn't go to those ones, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah, and how does Dr. Phil... So obviously Dr. Phil must be getting money from these places.
Yeah, I mean, there's these groups. Like, so this one's called like Aspen, I believe. And it's like an umbrella. And these places belong under there. And then like these scouts or whatever who go... Like, you know, they're paid a certain amount to be like, well, we recommend this one or this one, you know? I mean, and then the amount of money that it costs... Like it costs somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000 for my uniform there. Like... I was wearing used clothes, sweatpants, and like Hanes t-shirts that were colored because that's how they color coded us, you know, like, and Dickies.
You don't name it? Have you named it?
Named at the time I was there, it was called Copper Canyon Academy, and the wilderness place is called Second Nature. I think they're calling it Sedona Sky now. I looked it up recently because sometimes, you know, late at night when you can't sleep, you like to rehash trauma. And I just like to see, you know, what these fuckers are up to.
But, Katie, how are you doing for your show situation?
I have to leave in a minute.
Okay, well,
What time is it? Is that at 7? 7:10?
Oh, I'll just take my
phone. No, is it really? It's 8.
Them. Oh, it's 8. Okay.
Are you under pressure?
Only a little bit.
Oh, okay. I just want to ask you one more thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So then, did you end up having a period of time you smoked a lot of meth and actually you ended up kind of like a little fucked up from drugs?
I went through, like, yes, I smoked meth. Yes, it was kind of fucked up. But I think having gone through what I went through, it's like I could look at the situation like as greater than just like that moment. And I was like, okay, I don't want to be a meth addict because I care about my life and I want to have a life. And I just got into college, so I probably shouldn't go to college with a meth addiction. So I'm going to quit crystal meth and quit hanging out with these people that are my friends to get clean and like move to New York City so I can go to school.
Oh, so you went to school here. That's how you came here?
Yeah.
And you had no problem kicking meth?
I mean, it was... some things kind of happened that weren't pleasant, but...
Physically
and just like, you know, I told this on a Luis Gomez's podcast, but this like thing happened with this guy I did not know from the internet, and he crawled through my mom's doggy door, and I was like, I can either get raped or just have sex with this guy consensually. And it was like to day two of my meth thing. Like I was like reaching out for support, and I'd like known this guy on the internet for years, but never met him. And he like lived in San Francisco, and this was in Sacramento. So like in the middle of like going through like a very bad night of like day two of like I'm not on meth anymore and I'm sweat, but I can't talk to my friends because they're on meth, and I can't talk to my mom because she can't, even though she knows something's wrong, and I can't talk to the people I've been lying to saying I'm not on meth. So I was like, yeah, I could appreciate a friend tomorrow, but like I finally went to sleep and I woke up to the doorbell and I was like, oh, this is a bad idea. Like, that was like a desperate thing. And I was like, I just want to answer the door. And he like came and he crawled through my doggy door and was like in the house.
Oh, God.
And like then he had like brought condoms and I was like, he's either going to rape me or I can like have sex with him. So Jesus. I was like, I'll just have sex with this guy.
You definitely have that kind of brain where you're like, what's the worst?
Yeah. I'm
but
like,
it's still not the best I would option.
Like, I was like, I would like to not be raped today. So I'll just have consensual sex with this stranger.
Jesus.
Whatever gets you through the night.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, that's what you were like when you were in that camp as well. You were like, okay, what's the yeah. pretend along, the easiest way out?
Yeah. I mean, just what's the best? And that's sort of like, isn't that life? I mean, what's the
it's like the in between fight and flight. You're like yeah. walking the line in between.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like anything. It's just like, what is the best way to get through it, you know? Yeah. And, you know, I mean, generally speaking with life, it's just like, don't be a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know. You'll figure it out over time.
Yeah.
For today, it's okay.
For today, you're great.
Yeah. I mean, I feel pretty okay. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're one of our more interesting guests. I can.
No, you were right brilliant. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. No, this was fun.
Is there anything you? I guess wrap
plug
it up.
Your shit. Plug your
shit.
I
love Instagram. I'm like a child. Me some too. My Insta. Isn't it? It's so ridiculous. It. so you can follow me on Instagram at ew. That is spelled EW. Girl, you nasty. And I put
you
all my
girl, you nasty.
You girl, you nasty. Yeah, and I put my shows on there. And,
yeah, you've a great clip online from Edinburgh Fringe on it right now.
Yeah,
get on and watch.
Why'd
that.
You give up booze?
You know, I stopped having fun, and I was like getting paid and drinking. I was like, this is not. I'm just drunk for no reason. I'll stop for 30 days, and after 3 weeks, I was like, I just don't feel like doing it anymore. So like, if I feel like it, I will. But like, I just don't. I'm just like, yeah. I just don't even
it's great
want
money
it.
Savings.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, so true.
Great health savings.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just like I'm just kind of over it.
Yeah. So no meth, no booze.
I mean, I'm not saying no to meth.
All right, go on. Katie's stressed. I can tell. You can go.
Can I go?
Are you gotta go. You have a show.
Are we
no?
done? Are we good? You guys going to continue on talking?
Good. No, but I mean, like,
okay,
you can
go?
Get ready. I could.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. I love
I
you.
I can't
all.
Handle the stress.
Oh, sorry. Did I come across?
What's your sign?
No.
Okay.
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, fine.
But I'm not a big sign guy.
It's fine. No, most men aren't. I just like thinking about it. I know she's a Libra.
Katie's a Libra, yeah. And she's leaving us. Okay. Well, we can go. By the way, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm not
yeah.
keeping you here.
Well, you're holding the thing, and do we
well, because I'm gonna finish, but I'm stressing over Katie. Yeah,
thank you. No, this was so fun.
That's
really,
a goodbye
really
good
from
go Katie. Go Katie.
I'll text you later about that, so I can find out when I can.
Okay. Go. Go.
Bye, Katie.
That's Katie. That's Katie's gone. All there right. Once goes. Katie's gone, pee on me.
That's so funny. I'm like,
Katie's
how much gypsy?
Shit on me right yeah. now.
I mean, you have a nice place. I feel like I could really get some money out of you.
Yeah, really. It's only okay, to be honest. But hey, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And until the next time. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Don't forget, at Katie Boyle Comic. Katie is on Instagram. Check out info about her shows. And... I got distracted there by, there's a baseball game on my television. I got distracted by a bad play that just happened. Anyway, I'm at Des Bishop. We got our competition running. I said leave comments on Insta, or leave comments on the Apple Podcasts. But we had a lot of questions about people who don't listen on iTunes, which is fair enough. Leave a comment wherever. And listen, if you can't leave a comment, tweet. Or do an Instagram story. Just take a screenshot of it and send it to me on Instagram. DM me on Instagram with a screenshot of how you promoted the podcast. And I'll throw you into the hat for a competition to win tickets to my Sunday night show in Vicar Street. Which Katie will be at. So that should be fun. I'm on tour all over Ireland starting on the 10th of October. I'm at Ballymaloe House, East Cork. Two nights, actually. They're just about to release the second show. And then I'm in Newry, County Down. I'm in Vicar Street, Thurles, County Tipperary, Clonmel, Tullamore, Mullingar, Blanchardstown, Dunleary, Clane, County Kildare, Maynooth, County Kildare, and one or two other spots. And I'm forgetting all of our all the dates are on desbishop.net. So do check that out. I don't think we'll be doing any live podcasts, but I'll let you know. I had looked into maybe trying to do something at the Cork Podcast Festival, but it just doesn't work out because of that Nuri show, you know? So, anyway, another bad thing just happened on my TV, which is just very annoying. So, yes, thank you. Spread the word about the podcast. If you want to be in the competition, send me a screenshot. So grateful for all your support. Chat to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.